Welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Church podcast. We pray that this message will help you in your walk with Christ. The title of Dr. Splon's sermon is Becoming Faithful in a Faithless World. The big idea today is that there are many paths we can take in life, but the harder, more faithful path of obedience is the path that the Lord calls us to pursue for His glory.
This morning we're going to look together at Psalm 119, verses 33 through 40. Psalm 119, 33 through 40. I invite you to turn in your Bible if you brought it to that passage, or you can follow along in the worship guide. The scripture's there printed for you. Before we get there, I just want to say one word. I will never put you through me singing a song of praise by myself in front of you, but one of the pictures of praise that you find in the scriptures is for someone who's been blessed by God to stand up and say so. So you all, people who are in this room, my church family and my biological family, are representative of some of the greatest gifts the Lord has ever given me. And so I want to be careful to thank Him for that and to let you know how much you mean to me. The Lord's been gracious to me beyond what I deserve. So thank you for your kindness. Psalm 119, verses 33 through 40. The psalmist writes, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimony and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise that you may be feared. Turn away the reproach that I dread, for your rules are good. Behold, I long for your precepts and your righteousness. Give me life." I'd like you to pray with me. Lord, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It's hard to be faithful in a fallen world. It is really, really hard to be faithful in a fallen world. I've been reminded of that fact as we've been working through the Sermon on the Mount in our Sunday morning Bible study series in recent weeks. Ben and Mary and I have been teaching through the Sermon on the Mount, and I have been really convicted by what Jesus says in that block of teaching. You see, Jesus, when he teaches, he doesn't just kind of address the outward issues that you and I face, but he penetrates deep into our hearts beyond and behind the facades that we so often put up, and shows us the reality of where we are in our relationship with Him and the level of faithfulness to which He calls us. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaches that the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, and the persecuted are blessed. But I tend to seek popularity and pleasure rather than embracing hardship for the sake of the gospel. Jesus teaches that true observance to God's commands involves deeper matters of the heart, such as showing respect and dignity to all people by pursuing reconciliation, working for the good of everyone, even my enemies, and sincerely engaging in a relationship with my Heavenly Father, trusting that He sees what I do in secret and He rewards me accordingly. But I'm tempted to go through the motions of religion in order to hide the hypocrisy in my own heart, thinking that I can maybe meet the minimum requirements that the Lord would place on me rather than striving to live in step with the heart of the lawgiver. Jesus teaches me to store up incorruptible treasures in heaven rather than amassing worldly possessions that will be eaten by moths or destroyed by rust, trusting that He will graciously provide for my needs if I will seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. But I'm often fooled by the empty joys, empty pleasures of this life, thinking that they're going to fulfill the desires of my heart, and I hoard more stuff to ensure my survival rather than trusting that God's going to provide for me so that I steward the resources He's given me to further His kingdom. Jesus teaches me to repent of the sin in my own heart before pointing out the transgressions and inconsistencies that I see in others. But rather than owning up to my own shortcomings and acknowledging my need for grace and mercy, I find a lot of comfort in pointing out the sins of others who I'm certain are worse sinners than me. Jesus calls me to grapple with what it might look like to build my house on a solid foundation by listening to and obeying what he has called me to do and to be. But I'm prone to use grace as an excuse to be complacent and even disobedient to the demands of discipleship that he's put on my life. As I've read this collection of teaching from Jesus that's 2,000 years old, I've been reminded of how relevant it is in my life today because it does address the matters of my heart. And he calls us to walk this path that is admittedly hard. He says, don't walk through the wide gate and the easy path where everyone else is going, but to instead walk through the narrow gate down the hard path that's sparsely populated. It's hard to be faithful in a fallen world. But as I've listened to this Sermon on the Mount, as I've listened to Ben and Mary teach, and as I've worked on lessons myself, I've been reminded that it's not a new thing that it's hard for us to be faithful in a fallen world. As long as God has called a group of people to himself, as long as he has sent them out into the world to be holy and set apart for him, as long as that has happened, God's people have struggled to remain faithful to him in a fallen world. Both in the Old and the New Testaments, we find this picture played out. And it's certainly the case here in Psalm 119. Now, Psalm 119 is easily the longest psalm in the book of, in the Psalter. Maybe perhaps this afternoon you can go home and memorize it. All 176 verses. And it's really beautifully put together. It's an acrostic poem. Every stanza starts with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. But I don't want to tell you that so you think, oh, that's a really beautiful picture of poetry. It's not a sentimentalized version of the spiritual life. Instead, Psalm 119 describes in nitty-gritty details what real-world spirituality looks like. There are insolent people who oppose the psalmist as he seeks to live according to God's ways. There are desires for selfish gain in his own heart that threaten to call him away from the path of faithfulness. And there are plenty of worthless things in this world that would distract him from focusing on the eternal things of God. Throughout Psalm 119, the psalmist will talk about the beauty and the usefulness of God's word. And at the same time, he will admit that it is really hard for him to always live in faithfulness to God's word. The last verse in Psalm 119 is this: I have gone astray like a lost sheep, seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Now, I would guess that chances are, if we went around the room this morning, most of us would identify with Psalm 119, 176. We could go around and we could say, do you believe in the Lord? And most of us here today would say yes. We'd say, do you love the Lord? Most of us would say yes. If I were to be so bold as to ask each of you the question, do you believe that God's word is true and useful in your life, I'm guessing that most of you would say yes. But I think you also would identify with the struggle to then live in light of that confession of faith. Because we still find ourselves with sin in our selfish hearts. We still find ourselves walking through a world that promises us joy and fulfillment if we will leave the path. And then there's the resistance of popular opinion. That everybody's going in one way, and so many times Jesus calls us to go that way. And we find ourselves torn between these two worlds. Well, if that's you this morning, I'll first say that you are in a good place. The struggle to be faithful to what God has called you to do and to be in this world, I think, is a positive, helpful sign that you are walking in a way that you're trying to pursue faithfulness. But if you're here this morning and you say, no, I really don't feel any struggle. Like, I've easily brought Jesus into everything else in my life and everything seems to be pretty seamless. Well, then I would say to you that perhaps the sermon this morning for you is a reminder of the radical call to discipleship that Jesus places on each of our lives. And to maybe go back and read Matthew 5 through 7 again and ask the Lord to show you places where you're living out of line with his word. But for everybody else here, if you're painfully aware of your propensity to leave the path of faithfulness, if you feel that struggle, whether it be in your workplace, whether it be in your home, whether it be where you are in school, if you feel that struggle to live out the faithful call that God's placed on your life, then Psalm 119 has much to say to you this morning. I want you to listen again as I read the first five verses. The psalmist writes, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways." The first thing that's obvious as you read through the first five verses of Psalm 119, 33 through 40, is that the psalmist knows that he doesn't have what it takes in and of himself to pursue faithfulness to the Lord. He knows that he's not smart enough. He knows that he's not wise enough. He knows that he's not disciplined enough to continue down the path of faithfulness. But he needs the Lord to be at work in his heart and in his life to do that for him, which he cannot do for himself. One of the best things I ever did was attend Beeson Divinity School for seminary. And one of my professors there, his name is Alan Ross. And I don't believe in reincarnation. So don't call me a heretic, okay? I don't believe in that. But if I did believe in that, I would think maybe Dr. Ross was Moses at one point in his life. He knows the Old Testament inside and out, and he brings the scriptures to life. But he says this about Psalm 119. He says, the psalmist knows that it will take a supernatural influence on his affections and will to make him prefer the good and reject the bad. He knows it's going to take God at work in his heart to help him prefer the good and to reject the bad. So if Dr. Ross is right, and I happen to think that he is, then maybe the statement, "it's hard to be faithful in a fallen world," is not worded strongly enough. Rather than you and I to say it's hard to be faithful in a fallen world, perhaps we should say it's impossible for us to be faithful in a fallen world apart from God's gracious work in our hearts and our lives. To turn our eyes away from the worthless things of this world and into his word so that we might then incline our hearts to his testimonies. Now this is something that goes against our own inclinations most of the time. As I look around the room this morning, most of you are good-looking people. You look like you have it together. You've done some stuff in the world. You've accomplished some things. And there's a part of us that we like to think, maybe I am all right. Maybe I am capable. Maybe I am up to the task. And Psalm 119 comes to us, and really all of Scripture comes to us and says, you have no hope apart from God's grace at work in your life. The fact that we're here at church this morning is not a declaration that we are self-righteous and that we have it together in contrast to all the people who didn't come. It is instead a declaration of our utter dependence upon the Lord to speak to us and to shape us so that we might then walk in paths of faithfulness. One of the most famous passages in all of Scripture that speaks to this need that we have for God to lead us is Proverbs 3, 5 through 8. I would guess that many of you probably can recite verses 5 and 6 without thinking about it. There we read, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones." In contrast to the message of self-sufficiency, and gosh darn it, you got this, just go. In contrast to messages of follow what your heart says, the Bible comes in and says that's a foolish idea. Your heart is deceitfully wicked above all things and will lead you to paths far from the Lord. Instead, we come and we acknowledge, Lord, we need you to guide us. And the song that we sang this morning, right before the scripture reading, is so helpful in this regard. "I'm not enough unless you come. Will you meet me here again? We declare as God's people that we're not enough apart from his work in our life. So if we do that, if we open ourselves up to God's leadership, if we acknowledge that we don't have what it takes to faithfully navigate this life, what are some things that God's going to lead us away from or help us overcome as we seek to be faithful to his will? Well, verse 36 gives us one thing. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Just so I get a quick understanding of who's in the room, how many of you are selfish? Yeah. There's something about us that we can't help but evaluate everything that happens in life based on how it affects numero uno. I'm okay with being a part of God's mission in the world as long as God is kind enough to fit it into my already existing busy life. But the moment that God calls me to drop something or to do something differently in light of the call that he's placed on my life, then things get a little more difficult. And my bent toward my own selfish gain gets in the way of my pursuit of discipleship. One of the most famous passages that we find in Scripture that gives us a picture of this is in Matthew 19, the story of the guy that we've come to know as the rich young ruler. Do you remember him? He comes to Jesus, and he's a very righteous person. And he comes and he says, Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And what does Jesus say to him? He says, here are some commandments I want you to follow. And he gives him a list of some 10 commandments. He gives him that passage from Leviticus about loving your neighbor as yourself. And you know what he says? He says, fantastic, I've done all of that. Now, I applaud him in his pride and arrogance to say such a thing, right? But he says, I've done it all. And Jesus does not say, great, go on your way. What does Jesus say? He looks into him and he says, you lack one thing. Sell everything that you have, give the money to the poor, and follow me. And how did he respond? He went away how? Sad. Because he had lots of stuff. So in that moment, when he had a chance to follow Jesus, he decided not to because he had too much to lose. The selfish gain was too great for him to walk away and pursue a relationship with Christ. Now, I'm guessing that most of you will not be called to sell everything that you have and give it all away to the poor. But I want to be honest with you this morning that I'm pretty certain that somewhere along the way, your pursuit of faithfulness to Christ is going to require you to give up something. There's going to be something that your selfish heart wants to hang on to, that you want to prize more than the call to faithfulness that Christ puts in your life. And in that moment, you have to decide, is pursuing Christ more worthy, more valuable of my life, or is this thing that I have? It might be your free time. One of the things that you and I understand that is scarce is time. If we went around the room and I said, are you busy? All of you would say, yes, I'm incredibly busy. Almost like a badge of honor. I'm important and I'm busy. God may be calling you to give up something that's occupying your time so that you can be more faithful, perhaps to be involved in the ministries of our church or discipling someone else. Might be calling you to part with some of your disposable income to invest in kingdom work here and around the world. But whatever it is, just know that Jesus comes to you and he does not want to fit neatly into your life, but he wants to call you to a path of faithfulness that requires you to give up something as you pursue him. So how do we develop a heart that values the things of the Lord more than the things of the world? Verse 37, turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. I think perhaps the biggest hurdle that you and I will have to overcome in our pursuit of knowing and living for Christ are the worthless things of this world. Our world currently, I think, is filled with worthless things. It might be the 24-hour news cycle that you allow to kind of speak to your heart, fear and anger over what's happening in the world. It might be for you home improvement shows where you sit down at night and you watch and you're like, That's a beautiful house. My place is garbage. I need more of that, right? That kind of occupies your heart. It might be seemingly things that aren't that big of a deal, like silly YouTube videos or TikTok. I was writing this sermon this week, and I went down to Crestline for lunch, so this is on my brain. Know that anytime a pastor is writing a sermon and he's walking around, it's always in his brain. Even if he's talking to you, he's really not listening. He's thinking about his sermon. So I was walking down the Crestline to eat, and as I'm walking, I see everybody, and I pass them on the street, and what are they doing? It's kind of like this, right? And I get into the restaurant, and I'm waiting, and I'm just going to pick on teenagers because it's just so easy. She's in line, and she's kind of hunched over, and she's doing what? Staring at a screen that's just like not bad necessarily, but just kind of worthless. I read a book recently where the guy looks at our world, and one of the things that he says in the book is that much like you and I can have our taste buds off because we've eaten so much junk food that we no longer desire food that is good for us, in a similar way, we can fill our hearts with things that are so silly and kind of so here today and gone tomorrow, that we no longer have a heart for things that are deep and meaningful. And so all of us can find something. I can find something. The South Carolina Gamecock tackle football team. I can find things that I allow to become so important and I become so consumed by them that I have no time or no resources left over to quiet myself before the Lord and engage in His Word so that He might shape me and help me to think about what it would look like to be a faithful follower of His. Pray that God would give us an increasingly growing distaste for the things of this world and a desire for deeper things that will satisfy us. So what do I want you to do in light of Psalm 119, 33 through 40? There are a couple of things, and specifically if you're a part of Mount Brook Baptist Church, that I want to challenge you to do. One, I want to ask you to prayerfully consider reading the Bible reading plan that we encourage you to read. Does anybody know what we call the Bible reading plan? Anybody? Thank you, Mary. Project 119. And why do you think we called it Project 119? Because of Psalm 119. And this idea that we so need to be shaped by God's Word. And I get it. There are so many apps. There are so many plans. There are so many things that you could do to expose yourselves daily to God's Word. And so I'm asking you to prayerfully consider reading the common plan that we've offered to you. Because I think that as we read Scripture alongside each other, and as God puts these things on our heart and we're shaped in our hearts and our minds to who He's called us to be, together as a people, that God will help us see easier who it is He's calling us to be during the days that we have. You can find that information at mbbc.org/project119, and we also put it in your worship guide every week. And wherever you are, if you're not reading Scripture at all right now, if you said, I ain't reading the Bible at all, start with the leftmost Scripture, and then if you can do one more, get that middle Scripture. And then if you can stretch it all the way out to read three a day, then do that. But make it a habit every day that you get God's Word into your life. Secondly, I want you to consider being a part of one of our growth groups this fall. I want you to prayerfully consider what it would mean for you to sign up and read Scripture in community and relationship with other people here at Mountain Brook Baptist Church. So growth group is just our small group model that we're trying to employ here at our church. And one of the things that we're trying to do through our small group model is that we want people who aren't like each other to get together and read and wrestle with Scripture together. Now we do put you like each other with men and women, but outside of that, we want you to be exposed to the greater variety of who God has called here to Mountain Brook Baptist Church. Look around the sanctuary a little bit this morning. Go ahead. I really want you to turn your head. How many of you see someone older than you here? Yeah? Even if you're old, I invite you to lift your hand up. Like, I'm not as old as him, right? Some of you see someone younger than you here? Yeah. And one of the things that God gives us by putting us together in a community of faith that's made up of people from all different life stages is that we have the opportunity to then encourage and challenge each other as we seek to follow Christ faithfully. So there's a group of people in our church that are raising small children, some who don't like to be quiet when they're being dedicated, right? We're trying to figure it out. Some of you have long since raised children. You know what it's like to be in our shoes. But so often we keep all the dumb people raising kids by themselves and we keep all the wisdom apart. And what we want to do is bring you together. And you can say, oh, I walked that path. That's really no big deal. Or I walked that path with my child and here's how God saw us through that. I want you to prayerfully consider going to our website and signing up for a growth group. You can literally be a part of one Sunday through Monday at some point. We have technology now called Zoom. You can just log on wherever you are and engage with other people for the purpose of reading scripture deeply together and saying, what does this mean for me? A growth group is not a chance for you to, we don't want to challenge Canterbury or St. Luke's to Bible Jeopardy. Not the point. What we want to do is get together and say, what does this mean for me in my life? What does this mean for our church collectively? How can we faithfully live this out? Being faithful in a fallen world is hard. But God gives us what we need in His Word, His Spirit, and His people to faithfully pursue Him. And I think a harder thing is to get to the end of our lives and look back. I think we wasted them on worthless things or empty pursuits rather than laboring for His kingdom. May we be a church who increasingly is shaped by God's word, that we're faithfully following Him, and He uses us to be salt and light for Him in this place. I invite you to pray with me. God, thank You so much for Your grace. Each of us here today, Lord, we may have others full, but we know the condition of our own hearts, and that often we are a mixed bag of emotions as we come before You. We thank You that You extend grace and mercy to us. And that in fact, though You are high and lifted up, the people that You love to draw near to are those who are humble and lowly in heart. So we pray that You would do for us that which we cannot do for ourselves, that You would give us a heart and a desire for You and Your word and the things of You. That You would help us to value You above all things. And Lord, that You would overcome the selfishness that so often resides in our heart and our propensity to look at things that really don't matter in the end, and help us to deepen in our faith and our faithfulness. We thank You for the love that You've extended to us in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we know that we come not in an attempt to earn anything from You, but to offer our lives in gratitude to You. So do this work in us even now. We offer this prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We pray that today's message brought you hope as we continue to love God and live with grace and generosity. Don't forget to check back here for more podcasts. And as always, go out and do the Lord's good work.